May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For if the owner of the house had known what time at night the thief was coming, so keep awake. There's hardly a house in this city or in any city with anything of value that does not have an alarm system. Your own home may have one and you arm it regularly. Some homes go even further and are protected by gates and a fence or walls. We wouldn't dream of leaving our home without arming it against malicious external forces. But what about our lives? Do we check on and arm regularly the alarm system for our lives? What we heard this morning is only a portion of a much larger discourse of Jesus to his disciples regarding the end of the ages. And that phrase, end of the ages, is Christian code for the fulfillment of God's intention for creation. The snippet we heard is of the infamous apocalyptic variety, and I don't mean zombies or the Night of the Living Dead. For Christians, we're talking about an entire theological discipline of inquiry called eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the end times. And eschatology's central premise is that God has a telos, an ultimate goal for all of creation, which includes us. So everything that happens will finally culminate in God's purpose and intention. And if you want to know what that purpose or intention is, you go back and look at the creation myth in the book of Genesis. Most importantly, this apocalyptic or revelatory text was told and finally written by an oppressed and subjugated people to encourage endurance and to offer hope to fellow subjugated people. So why in the world then has it come down to us today, and what are we supposed to do with it? Well, it's like the old folks at home in Mississippi used to say, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You ever heard that? As I've grown older, I've come to understand that things don't change when we don't change. Things don't change when I won't change. I'm talking about a deep change in the places of us that most of us, quite frankly, would just as soon not look at. And that's why things stay the same on the outside where everybody can see it. For example, violence remains, greed remains, hatred remains. The demons of, and the illusion of self-sufficiency, the demons of white supremacy and injustice remain. Poverty remains. For Christ's sake, Flint, Michigan still has no drinking water, clean drinking water, a city in the middle of the United States of America. So to those who are living in or living with or in solidarity with these kinds of conditions, to these people, the things that matter and are conducive to a life that flourishes have not changed. It is to these people and to those who stand in solidarity with them that the text this morning says, stay awake, Keep your alarm system ready, because there will be a second advent. So you may wonder, how in the world do we do that? How do we stay awake and ready? And there are at least two ways that means that I can think of that the season of Advent offers us an opportunity to do, to explore, a way to experience God in a different way. First, we can practice mindfulness. Holy mystery is now. And in order to be present to the one who is always present, we have to learn how to honor every moment as if it were holy, as if it were filled with possibilities. Now, there's nothing new or new agey about mindfulness. It's simply reclaiming what many of our spiritual ancestors already knew. The readings and the writings of Thomas Merton attest to that, or of Saint Teresa of Avila. They knew they had to be intentionally present to God first. So mindfulness, being mindful, paying attention in the present moment, on purpose, without judgment, to our breathing, to our eating, to our family, wherever they are and whatever they're doing in that room. Whatever it is we're doing, those things are foundational to our availability to God. We are here thinking God is up there somewhere. God is right here, always. But it's our antennas that have to get tuned in through our mindfulness practice. And once we learn to live in the now, we'll forfeit all that old stuff. Those stories that circulate in your minds all the time, you know the ones I'm talking about, the ones that keep you up at night, the ones you go to bed with it, you wake up with it, you go to work with it. It's like, that stuff is not real. Is it true? It's in your mind. And it's energy that can be better served somewhere else. So when we are mindful of the present moment and just breathing, we'll discover wholeness. And that's just a code word for holiness. And we'll find that holiness in the moment. And it'll be there, and then we'll find peace, and then we'll find joy, then we'll find delight, and even love. Secondly, I think we can take on a spiritual discipline like an adaptation of the Ignatian Examen. Now, the Ignatian Examen prayer is an ancient practice of the early church, and it's a simple method of prayer and reflection that helps in discerning the presence and the activity of God in your daily life. So in other words, you're doing what you're doing, but you're always reminded that you've got this other piece of your life. And it's your spiritual self, it's your spiritual life. And there has come, lo and behold, a new app. And it's on iPhone, and it's on Android, and it's called Reimagining the Examen. And it was created by a Jesuit who was always on the go, always flying here and there, but wanted, desire to stay in step with God. So one of the things it does is it asks questions. So you get ready to go to bed at night and you pull it up and the question is, where did I experience something so beautiful, so joyful? Where was I so much at peace today? It's like, that's God. And you say, thank you. And then another question comes up and says, where did I experience something that really got my goat? Something that really pissed me off. And you say, hey, that's God too. Because God is always calling us into our higher, our better self, our Christ self. This app, I believe, is ideal for reconnecting and integrating our spiritual life and our physical life, no matter what we're doing. Because we're not portioned off in little parts and pieces. We're a whole person. And if truth be known, I plan on using the app myself as part of my own discipline for this Advent season. And now that we've gone through all of that, where is the good news? Where is the good news in a text that describes a future judgment at an unexpected hour, reminding us of Noah's flood and warning us to stay awake? And my sisters and brothers, the good news is the second advent, the second coming of Christ into the world, the second coming of the human and divine married together as one. And the coming itself will be the judge. The judgment falls as condemnation upon those who have slept through, and indeed are sleeping through, this new thing that is happening in the earth. See, regardless of what the newspaper says, or whatever says whatever, or whoever says whoever, God is doing a new thing. This thing is small and of absolutely no consequence to the high and mighty of worldly fame, power, and reputation. It is annoying, despised, and disparaged by those who are happy with the status quo. But for the wise, it is truly the apex of reality. Just like that baby that was born 2 millennia ago at that first advent. The youngsters would say, time to get woke and to stay woke. In the last two chapters of the book of Revelations, another apocalyptic masterpiece, the Spirit invites us to hear these words of John the seer anew. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be God's people, and God will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Because the first things have passed away. As the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, God and man. And the church says, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.